God has given us all that he has given us so that we would be able to accomplish the representation that he has called us to do. In other words, even as Jesus demonstrated he was from heaven and that he was from God by the things that he did, you and I are also to do the same. We live our lives in a way where God can do things in our life and through us that will cause other people to see and know the reality of the kingdom of God. And that's why serving the Lord is so exciting, because God is looking for opportunities to demonstrate himself in our lives. Isn't that a great thing? It's not like we serve a God who's like, don't worry about it. You'll get to heaven and then we'll go from there. No, we need help now. We need God now. You know, it's one thing to say I'm going to heaven. I mean, that's fabulous and all, but I need help now, today. Hallelujah. And that's our God, our Lord. He is there with us today. And he says he will never leave us nor forsake us, but he will be with us even to the end of the age, or the end of time. Yes. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That is an awesome thing. And I don't know about you, but there's just something about being in the presence of the Lord and just being in the house of God, being around the people of God. It just changes your whole life experience. Hallelujah. It's rough being around sinners all the time, isn't it? I don't understand how people can just be out there in the world. They have no hunger, no desire for fellowship to come. I wonder if they're even saved, honestly. Because when you come to Christ, something happens. You just want to be around the people of God. You know, I don't understand. You know, we all know these people aren't saved. You're not saved. I'm just going to say, you're not saved. I'm going to tell you, you're missing something. You're not hungry. You're not thirsty. Good grief. That's like saying you're a duck, but you don't want to get in the water. Come on now. You don't have no feathers. You don't have paddle feet. I'm a duck. No, you're not. You're a bird of some kind. I don't know, but you're not a duck. And I'm telling you, there are attributes and byproducts of salvation that come alive in us when we come to Christ. There are certain things that will happen. Hallelujah. How do you know that gas is going in your car and it's actually going to drive your car? It smells like gas. Isn't that right? It looks like gas. And when you turn the ignition, the spark fires it up as gas. Could you imagine if you went to a gas station, put gas in the car, and then your car just died? You would be like, what did they put in my car? Isn't that right? You would be going, what's going on with my car? You would be looking at it, you find out there's water in my tank, right? That happened in New Jersey on 17. It's some of those Luke Oil gas stations a few years ago. There was water in the gas tank. And how did people know? Because their engines got messed up and there was no power in them and they couldn't drive. Well, I tell you, when Christ is in your life, there's power in your life and you're able to drive. You're able to accomplish the will of God. You have a hunger for the things of God. You want a kingdom experience in your life. There is just something that changes and transforms. There is a huge difference between being educated and having a knowledge of God and actually knowing God, having received Christ in your life. And when he comes in, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. I don't know. It got me going now. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, I'm tired of people misrepresenting the kingdom of God and Christ. God is a do-something God. He accomplishes things in people's lives. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when you have had a genuine born-again experience, you come alive. Hallelujah. And there is something that is at work within you. And when you are walking in the ways of God, God walks with you. He shows up. You are not alone. He makes a way even when it seems impossible. He opens doors that no man can shut. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He is able to accomplish and do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or even imagine. And that's a promise from God. And God is faithful. God is faithful. All you have to do is walk in the righteousness of God. Walk in holiness and truth. Walk upright before the Lord and commit your ways to Him. So many people are straddling the fence. They're walking with one leg in and one leg out. But I'm telling you, you will never see the manifestations of God with a double-minded way of life. You must be faithful to God in all your ways, committed, all in, 100%. And Christ will never fail you. He will not let you down. You will see the manifestations of God come alive. Hallelujah. Jesus, goodness, Shanda, hallelujah, Lord God Almighty, hallelujah, woo, that was a free one, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, man, I'm telling you, glory to God, all right, Jesus, yes, Lord, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Woo. Woo. Give me a minute now. Oh, my goodness. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't let anybody rob you of your joy. Don't let anybody rob you of your testimony, your story. Hallelujah. God has done something in our lives, and we have reason to talk about it, to celebrate it, to share it, to just proclaim it everywhere we go, because God is faithful, and there is nothing wrong with you. You just got the Spirit of God in you. Hallelujah. And He's trying to work His way out. Hallelujah. So let the Lord out so He can run wild. Hallelujah. Because He wants to prove Himself. He wants to show Himself in our lives. Hallelujah. The devil's not ashamed to cuss and swear and say all kinds of nonsense to you and I. So why shouldn't we just give him back the power of the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. 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 Some guy was cursing and saying all kinds of stuff. He was talking to me one time, and I said, you know, God can deliver you from that filthy mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was like, what? He was shocked. I'm like, well, you know, you're talking like that. You know, you're hearing, throwing these explicitives out every so often. I figure I'd throw some Holy Ghost back at you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. After that, he was careful about how he was talking. He was like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying, listen, you know, if you don't wash, you're not clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And only the word of God is going to cleanse you. So hallelujah. All these Christians, I'm telling you, come on, people of God. Wash yourselves in the word of God. Let the Spirit of God renew you and revive you. Let Him speak life into you. Let Him drive out fear and anxiety and all these things. God has given you power and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Let's rise up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. None. None. Nothing. Hallelujah. You walk in the strength of the power of the Word of God. When you're not in the Word, then the world is going to run you over. And you're going to start thinking like the newscast and everybody else who's doing all this talking. And you just have to be able to listen in on the Word of God. What is the Spirit of God saying? Hallelujah. And that's why, hallelujah, I got to jump while I can jump. We're talking this month about hope, liberty, and truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Because in the kingdom of God, it's filled with hope. There is liberty, and truth is the foundation in which we all stand. We stand on the truth of God's word. If one jot or tittle, the word of God says, and a jot and a tittle is like a mark. You ever see in some foreign languages, they have these little markings over the letters and, you know, and these little commas kind of like things. Those are jots and tittles. Those are those little phrasings that if one of those, the word of God says, were to fall away or not be in the right place, all of the kingdom of creation would be destroyed. It would just all disappear. It would all fall away. That's how true the word of God is. Could you imagine if you didn't put a comma in the right place in a sentence, and oh, you didn't put your little accent on your letters, if everything just disappeared or fell apart? Man, that's pretty powerful. You'd be very careful about how you wrote things, isn't that right? Well, that's how careful God put his word together for us, so that if even one of those little things were to fall off or fall away, then everything would cease to exist. That's how much you and I can trust the word of God. That is the truth of God. And you and I have hope and we have liberty. And that's why we can prevail beyond these times. We're able to prevail because of the hope of Jesus Christ. We are picking up the mantle of God. Hallelujah. And so today we're going to be looking here in 1 Peter 1:13 is our lead verse. And it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I love the way the Word of God uses the language and the careful terminology that is used in the Scripture, because it brings to life really what God is trying to help us to understand. And it begins here with this verse by saying, prepare your minds. And you and I have to always be able to prepare our minds. That means you have to take your mind off of everything else and focus in on what God is about to do. What God is about to do. It says, prepare your minds for action. And you and I have to learn how to be ready to go into action. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of actions. That means things happen. That means God is wanting to do things. When his word is lived out, or it is declared, and it has an impact because his word is designed to accomplish something. His word is not just something that we hear and know, but it starts to do something within us that causes life to come out of it. He brings life out of it. And that's what words will do. Words can either bring life or death. And that's why the scripture says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And you and I have to be careful that we are living our lives in the right frame of words, in the right way, according to the words that are being proclaimed and that we are hearing and receiving. And if we're not living according to the word of God, then God is not really the God of our life. Whatever words you are you are following and you are believing, that is the one who is the God of your life. And that is why it's so important for you and I to know what the word of God is, so we can be careful to do it. And we have to keep sober in spirit. Keep sober in spirit. In other words, don't let anything intoxicate your spirit. Don't let it rob you of faith in God. And I'm not just talking about, well, you know, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that he saves us and he's a healer and he's a deliverer. I believe that he rose from the grave. I believe all that. That's all good. Now do what he says to do. Hallelujah. If you really believe that, then you would do what Jesus says to do. He says it himself. If you love me, then you keep my commandments. And so why would you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I ask you to do? You don't do the things that I say. These are all things that Jesus said. But we have to make sure that we are applying this in our lives. Hallelujah. And so we fix our hope. Fixed. That means you're locked in like a deer in headlights. You ever heard that term before? The deer in headlights. Move. Move. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God. You're just like holding on. It doesn't matter what else is coming, what else is going on. You're holding on to the grace of God. You're holding on to Jesus. You have hope. Nothing can snatch it from you. No. You're not going to let it go. And so we prepare our minds for action. And we keep sober in spirit so that nothing would intoxicate us, so that we are taken out or away from what it is that God is saying and doing, and that we are brought to a revelation of Jesus Christ, that there is a revelation of God. We need a revelation. When the revelation of God comes to us, we are able to accomplish the will of God, because you got to see it in order to receive it, in order to really experience it. And when I say see it, I mean perception. You have to have a revelation from God. And that is why meditating on the Word of God is so important in our lives. And the thing that you meditate on the most, that's the thing that's going to shape your mind and intoxicate your spirit. And that's why we have to keep sober by what we're allowing to go into our minds, because it goes into your mind and into your heart. And so the more you meditate on something, the more you surround yourself around the wrong types of people, you will become like them. If you're around foul people, you too are going to become foul. You ever been in a stinky place? Hallelujah. You're always checking the self. Is that me? Or is that coming from somewhere else? Right? Has that ever happened? How many people you see do this every once in a while? That's because they smell something and they want to make sure that it's not them. Hallelujah. And if it is them, they're quick to find a remedy. Isn't that right? Either that or they walk around like this. You know? None of us wants to be of the wrong spirit. We don't want to be intoxicated. We don't want that smell on us. And I tell you, when you're in the world and you're around worldly people a lot, you will smell like them. Your mindset will become like them. You'll start thinking like them. You'll start perceiving. You'll start using the language they use. Hallelujah. I remember I took a trip to London one time, and I was out there for a few weeks, and I came back with a British accent. Hallelujah. You know. I kind of felt nice about that. I enjoyed that. I said, you know, it was quite nice for me to be out there. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. It was such a tremendous experience. None of these puppycocks as you would see around here, but we were able to really enjoy all the touristy type things that so many people never get a chance to see in their lives. And it was great. I loved it. I held on to it for a little while. I thought, you know, this is really nice. I sound sophisticated. Hallelujah. And when you're around people, you start to take on certain attributes. And that's why it's so important for us to spend time in the presence of God, around the people of God, so that we can have faith in God. The longer you stay away from the house of God and the places and the things of God, the more you will become like the world. And that will happen whether you want to or not. It's just going to happen. You're going to become intoxicated. You're going to begin to operate in the ways of this world. And so I would like to use as a theme today the byproducts of faith. Hallelujah. The byproducts of faith. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for the word of God. And we, oh God, are excited about your word. It is your word that was spoken and we came into existence. You formed us out of the dust of the earth and you breathed life into us. God, you are all powerful. It is your word that enables us to have life and have it everlasting. And our desire, Lord, is to walk in the ways of God. Walk according to your word and allow your kingdom to manifest itself in our lives. Wash us, Lord, with your word. Heal us. Cleanse us. Set every captive free. Lord, I pray that every form of bondage and every hindering spirit would be driven out from among us today. And Lord, that we would experience the truth of God's word in the liberty of the Spirit of God, that hope and faith would come alive in the midst of us so that we would be able to go into the world and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ without hindrance, without fear, without intimidation, and that we would speak the truth, binding the strong man and bringing down every opposition of the enemy so that the kingdom of God may prevail in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there are certain byproducts of having faith in God. There are certain things that are going to automatically begin to happen when you begin to apply biblical principles in your life, and they are obvious. They are evident in our lives. And people who apply the principles of God and his word in their life will always see fruit. They will always see a manifestation that is in alignment with what it is that they are believing in, where they're placing their faith and their trust. And when you and I are careful to examine the word of God and apply the principles that God is revealing through the revelation of the Spirit of God, it enables us to be transformed. We are changed. You will never change without the word of God. You will never change. It doesn't matter how much you read about it, how much you try to figure it out. The word of God is the only thing that will change your life. If you want to overcome, if you want to have victory, if you want to be a better person, you can go to Barnes & Noble. If you can find it, well, you can go to Newburgh. There's one way out there. And there's one in Nanuet. There's one out there. But that's a lot of riding and a lot of driving when all you need is to pick up your Bible. Hallelujah. And you can get one of these how-to books, and you can get how to be a better person, how to be a better mother in 10 easy steps, how to be a good father in 4,500 steps, and how to accomplish all of these great things and do all this stuff. But I tell you, you will not be able to follow through and accomplish it, because it's not something that we have the ability to do. It's not an easy thing to do. You need the Spirit of God. He will change your heart. He will renew your mind. It's not so much about knowing what to do. It's about having the power to actually do it. And you and I, we need power. We need to have the strength and the essence of God to enable us to actually accomplish the things that we want to do. Many people diet and they say, oh, I'm going to lose some weight. And then first thing you want to do is stop eating, right? You say, I'm not going to eat that piece of cake. Suddenly that piece of cake is calling your name. It's talking to you. It smells good. Everybody's talking about how good it is. It's just fabulous. It's just delicious. You say, I'm not eating that cake. I'm not drinking any soda. I'm not doing any of that stuff. And before you know it, you got a big fat piece of cake and a can of soda, a 20-ounce bottle in your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you say, well, tomorrow I'm not going to eat a piece of cake. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have any soda tomorrow. I'm going to cut it back. And we can't do it in our own strength. We need the help of God. We need the hand of God to help us to do whatever it is that God is compelling us to do. And so we see how important this is in 2 Kings 2. We see in the story of Elijah, we are looking at how he was caught up by the whirlwind. And I think this is an important story to understand because it helps us to see how we are to impact each other. We are to impact people who are hungry and thirsty for the things of God or not. We should be impacting people in any way that we can for the sake of the kingdom of God. But here in this story, it's a very powerful picture that we see. And verse 1 says, "And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." So they start out, Elijah and Elisha, in Gilgal. And this is an interesting story because Elijah, we all know, had done many miracles, at least 10 or so, you know, really amazing, incredible miracles. And Elisha was the one he was mentoring. He was kind of following, and he was walking with Elijah. And Elisha had a hunger and a passion for the things of God. God was with him. He was one who was called of God. He was anointed of God, and he had a hunger to do what Elijah did, the very things of God. He wanted a deeper and a greater dynamic of a relationship with God. And this is an important thing to know because many times we hear people talk about Elijah and Elisha and everybody wants a double portion and everybody wants all these great things. But it's important to look at what took place so that we can understand you don't just ask for it and then poof, it happens. You see, there are things that we need to do. We need to hear the words of the Lord and apply them in our life so that God can reign and rule in our lives. And so we see the stage is set here with, there's an understanding that Elijah is about to be taken up in this whirlwind. And so he says to Elisha, "Stay here and please," he's being very courteous about it, "for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." Now, Bethel, the name Bethel means the house of God. And I thought that that was significant because here is Elijah saying to Elisha, "I'm going from Gilgal to the house of God." And you and I, as the people of God, ought to always be moving towards the house of God. We ought to always be led and brought into the house of God. The house of God is a refilling station. It's a station where you're revived, where life is breathed into you. There's an exchange that takes place. You shake off heaviness and you pick up strength. You get refreshed in the presence of God. You get an anointing that enables you and empowers you to move forward because you come into a kingdom presence. The atmosphere is established. And all of a sudden, you start to smell like the rose of Sharon. Hallelujah. The sweet-smelling savor. You become like the incense that go up before God as the prayers of God's people are lifted up in the midst. And there's a healing and a transformation that begins to take place because you're in the place where the word of the Lord is ruling and reigning. And you're experiencing the power of God's healing and refreshing works. The works of God. Nobody wants a God that doesn't do anything. That you just believe in him and you go to heaven. That is not the God that we serve. We have a relationship with him. We are communing with him. Adam was created to walk with God. And you and I have to learn how to walk with God. when you walk with God and you're listening and you're hearing his words and you're meditating on thinking about what it is that he's saying to you, it changes your life. If we go through life without listening or hearing the voice of God, then we're going to find ourselves listening to other voices, because there are other voices that are speaking. There are voices that are actually contradictory to the voices of the Spirit of God. There are words that actually rob you of your strength rather than imparting strength to you. There are words that will build your faith and words that will rob you of faith. It will cause you to become more distant from God when you don't have life-giving words being spoken in the atmosphere where you spend the majority of your time. And the people around you are containers for spirits. We do understand that. People are containers for spirits. And so whatever spirit the person is operating under, that is the spirit that is magnifying itself in your presence. It is the very thing that is establishing the atmosphere. And that's why coming to church is so important, so you can have a new atmosphere. There's more power in the house of God because there's more people of God filled with the Spirit of God who are able to bring forth healing and deliverance to those who are oppressed by other spirits. And so we need to be in the right atmosphere. We need to be able to establish atmospheres. We need to be able to make sure that the things of God are stirring in the midst of us so that we can accomplish the will of God. It's easier to do what the will of God is when there are two or three with you. Hallelujah. You can be bold and share a testimony or talk about Jesus when you have somebody else who's bold and sharing a testimony and talking about Jesus. Isn't that right? When you're by yourself and there's a whole bunch of sinners around, you quiet. They start cussing, you start cussing. You're ashamed. You're like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? What's going on? Oh Lord. Why? Because you don't have enough in you to overcome the spirits that they are establishing in your presence. And this is why you and I need to be filled with the Spirit. This is why we need to abide in the fellowship of the people of God. We need to be even in the house of God. Why? Because that's where the power is. And I'm a big fan of media and technology and all that stuff. But I tell you, there's nothing like the anointing when you're in the presence of the people than watching them on a screen. And I tell you, there is a strong anointing in the house of God. Hallelujah. The power of the presence of God is strong in the house of God. And it has the ability to deliver, heal, and set free. But that is cultivated by people who walk with God. And so Elijah walked with God, and Elisha was also walking with God. And he was being groomed in order to accomplish and fulfill the will of God. This is what parents ought to do with their children. This is what brethren and sisters do in the house of God. All of us working together, we are iron sharpening iron, the word of God says. And so verse 2 says that Elijah says to Elisha to stay here, and he's gone his way to Bethel, and Elisha says, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. Hallelujah. And so they went down to Bethel. They went to the house of God. You and I have to have this type of diligence. You see, here is Elijah telling Elisha, you don't have to come. You could stay here. I know so many Christians that if you say, well, I'm going over to the house of God, I'm going over here because God is calling me to do a work, or I have to go do something, and they're connected with you or involved with you, and you'll say, oh yes, I'm going, but you don't have to come. Hallelujah. We call that the Bridget Callahan invitation. Hallelujah. She says, yes, this is what
the Lord is calling me to do. And I'm just letting you all know that I would love for you to all to come, but you don't have to come. I'd like you to come, but you don't have to come. You can really just stay home. You don't have to. Don't worry. Don't feel obligated. Don't feel like you have to come. So you're like, should I go? I don't know. Should I go? So here's Elijah and Elisha. They're in this situation where they know what they have to do, and Elisha is firm. He says, oh, no. He says, you're not leaving me behind. I'm going. I'm going. So many people can't wait for an opportunity to stay home, to just stay. I don't want you. I don't have to go? Whoa, that's great. Oh, thank you. Shoo. Man, I'm staying home. See ya. Hallelujah. See ya later. But the difference here is that Elisha was looking for something. He had an expectation. He had a relationship with Elijah where he knew that where Elijah went, God was going to do something. And he didn't want to miss what God was going to do. And I want to tell you, when you are around people that God is using, you don't want to leave them. Hallelujah. You don't want to leave them. Now, when you hang around a whole bunch of people who do nothing but a whole lot of talking, then that's a whole different thing. But when you're around people who are accomplishing something for the sake of the kingdom of God, you don't want to leave them. You are hungry. Now, that's with the understanding that you don't have an intoxicated spirit, that you have a right spirit. And when you're walking with God, when you spend time with God, God causes you, he creates a hunger and a thirst to be around someone else and other people that are on fire for God. And you don't want to be around people who are watered down. You don't want to be around people who are carnal minded and who are just up to random stuff. You want to be around people who have something that can rub off on you. Hallelujah. And so this is what Elisha understood. So they went down to Bethel. They went together. And then it says the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Be still. Hallelujah. That word for still there, it translates be quiet. Hallelujah. I guess it's a nice here in the NASB, right? He says, be still. In other words, you know, all right, don't worry about it. Calm down. Be quiet. Don't say anything. And, you know, and this is important because you don't want people giving you a whole lot of other stuff. When God is doing something in your life and you're looking for a miracle from God, when you're looking for God to accomplish something in your life, you need something beyond just praise the Lord, I'm blessed and highly favored, glory to God, and all that kind of stuff. You need more than that. You need a move from God. You need a demonstration of the Spirit of God. You need something of heaven to come down and impact your situation. So you don't want to hear a whole lot of commentary from random people. So he says, yeah, I know. Shh. Quiet. Quiet. And he says, be still. I know. I need to keep my eyes on what God is doing. And this is important because what was back in those days, they had what was known as the school of the prophets. And what that was where a bunch of the sons of prophets, or you know how it was, the gifting was in a household or a lineage, and it would be passed down. And so this group of people, they were known as the prophets because they all had the gift of prophecy. Remember, people didn't have Bibles back then. And so they needed the Word of God. They needed the Spirit of God to speak to people so that God would be able to tell everyone else what it was that God wanted to do or what he was doing. Because God's purpose is always to let his people know what's happening before it happens. God always warns his people. He always gives us opportunity to prepare ourselves so that we can be ready for whatever is coming up next. And that is why it's so important to walk with God.
You and I can't get caught up in listening to all these things going on out in the world and all this stuff that's happening. We have to stay tuned in to the Word of God, to the voice of the Spirit of God. There are people that can tell you everything that's going wrong everywhere. But what God is saying, they have no idea. They have no idea. I'm talking about Christian people. I'm not even talking about worldly people. I'm talking about people who are Christians. You and I need to be so tuned into God that the world doesn't matter, because as you walk, the Spirit of God is breaking before you, and whatever is coming against you will not prosper, because it's being dispersed as you move forward in God. Why? Because you're walking in a revelation of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You're walking in the revelation of the Word of God. You're not operating in fear, because you don't even know anything that would cause you to fear. You're not even hearing that. I know. It's not saying that you're in denial of what's going on. It's saying that you are operating despite what's going on. And it's not just that you're just being, you know, flippant about it, but you're carefully listening to what the Spirit of God is saying so that you can do exactly what God is calling you to do, because you don't want to miss. Because if you miss, you might get hit with something, right? So you don't want that. You need to walk in the ways of God. So when we are walking with God as we go, we don't want any distractions. And the sons of the prophets, they meant well. They all understood, and they all knew what God was about to do. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because they were prophets. God revealed things to his people. Once you become a child of God, he's going to begin to talk to you. He's going to begin to share with you. You have the potential to become like the prophets. God can speak to you and tell you what's going to happen and say, don't go that way. And he'll give you direction. He will show you what to do, what not to do. He'll give you what to say when you need to say it. But you have to have that kind of a relationship with God. You can't just be flippant and trivial in your Christian walk and think that God is going to be revealing mysteries to you, but you don't even know God. All you do is know about God. God wants to get to know you in a way where he can speak to you and give you direction. And God will reveal himself. And so he's eliminating the distractions so that he can stay sober in spirit. He wants to be sober in spirit. And so as he moves on, Elijah says to him, Elisha, hey, hang out here, dude. I want you to just stay here. Please, you don't have to come with me, because now the Lord is sending me to Jericho. Oh, Jericho. And so here is Elisha going, look, I don't care where you are going. As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And I love this, because he's reinforcing he will not leave. I am going to walk with you. I will be there by your side. Don't you wish you had friends like this? Hallelujah. Don't you wish you had helpers like this? You know, there's that phrase, good help is hard to find. You know, man, if we could find help like Elisha, there is no greater help than this. He will not leave. He says, I'm not going to leave. He says, I am going to stay with you. And so they came to Jericho. And so they are on this journey. This is not an easy journey. One of the things that is believed about why this is happening this way is because the path that goes between these cities was often filled with thieves and robbers that would mug people and beat them up and even kill people along the way. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? You know, well, it's along these roads that these guys are walking, and it was very dangerous for someone to travel, especially one person or two people alone, because there were bandits that would attack people and rob them. And it wasn't like, you know, like it is today. You get on your phone and like 911. You know, these guys are in the wilderness. And they're walking through these trails, and you can holler and scream all day long, and all you hear is yourself bouncing back at you. And that's how it is. And so there is reason for Elijah to say, hey, you know, don't endanger yourself. You know, don't, it's a long journey. It's not an easy thing. And it's outside of their territory. Hallelujah. And each of the prophets had a territory. There was a region. And Elijah was in Samaria and Gilgal, kind of in that area. And then you see now he is moving along and he's here to Jericho. And at each city, there are these prophets there. There are people there. And this also helps us to understand, no matter where you go, God has somebody. God has people. God has people, and he's got the right people. People who can minister, who have a relationship with him, who he speaks to, who he reveals things to. And these guys are interactive, and they have good intent. Their intent is, hey, we just want to let you know, you're going to lose your message. Just in case, God is confirming his word. And whenever God speaks to you or gives you direction, he will always confirm his word. And that's another reason why it's important to be around people who have a relationship with God, so that you can be reassured that you're hearing from God and that you're hearing the right thing. Because there are so many distractions and competing voices, and Satan is a master deceiver. His job is to sound like God. That is what he does. His job is to imitate God, to pretend he is the voice of the Spirit of God. And it's not unless you have a relationship with God and God is able to confirm his word in our life. It can be very difficult to know the voice of God from the trickery of Satan, because Satan has come to rob, to kill, and to destroy, to bring division and to stir up confusion and every evil work, the word of God says. And so it's challenging to understand and grasp this as we go through life. We're competing for the voices of the Spirit, which is why you need a sober spirit. You have to be sober in spirit. And so here they are now in Jericho, and they run into the sons of the prophets again, and Elijah says to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me now to the Jordan. And he said, the Jordan? Oh, man. And he says, as the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. You know, this reminds me of Peter, right? When the Lord says, Peter, do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. Isn't that right? He said it three times. And the cock crowed three times. And so there's something significant about the number three. It represents the Spirit of God, the Trinity of God, the fullness of God. And the idea is that this happened three times because it's reinforcing that if you and I want to experience God in a powerful way, we must be faithful to God. We must hold on again and again and again, and God will not disappoint you. Hallelujah. And so verse 7 says, now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now, we know the Jordan River, that's, you know, there was baptisms that would take place there in the future from this point, right? Remember Jericho, where they crossed over the Jordan River out of the wilderness and they fought in Jericho. So that's a significant place. So these are areas where God has done a magnificent work before, and he will continue to do magnificent works into the future. And as we look at this, it's important for us to hold on to the understanding that God wants us to go the distance. We have to be willing to go the distance. We have to be committed 100%, going all the way. We don't want to be like the 50 sons of the prophets standing at a distance watching. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You praise him. God wants all of us to go the distance. We have to go all the way. Sometimes people give you advice that they don't follow themselves. No, we need to all go the distance. We need to go all the way. Don't just tell people to pray. Pray with them. You pray. Do you pray? Are you reading the Word of God? We have to go the distance. We want to apply the principles of God's Word. So these 50 men of the sons of the prophets, they went and they stood opposite them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. And I think the significance here that we see is the fact that one was called and the others were not. They were not called. And these are those who God has a different plan for. He's got a different purpose for them. But there is something specific that Elisha is looking for, and he's focused. He's intent on receiving the blessing of God. And so Elijah took his mantle and he folds it together and he strikes the waters, and they were divided here and there so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I got my, let me get it here. I brought my mantle.
Shame this mic is not working.
All right.
Anyway.
So now, I have the mantle. Hallelujah. The mantle is the cloak that is covered. Now, it is understood that Elijah, he didn't wear anything under his mantle. Naked as a jaybird. Right? Wearing his mantle. Back in those days, I guess you could get away with that. And so he's got his mantle, and the mantle is a cloak. It's a covering, and it represents the authority of God. It represents the power of God and the kingdom of God. It's why you see many religious groups, they wear robes, right? You've seen pastors and ministers, you know, in different churches, they wear robes. And is this working? All right. And so because they wear robes, it represents the kingdom of God and its power and its authority. And this is what you and I are able to accomplish because we have the covering of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our covering. That's why we are not only to have the Spirit of God come upon us, which is like the mantle, but he's also within us, and he overflows us, which is where we get where the submersion of the Spirit of God. It is what is known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the water of the Spirit is in you, it's over you, you're covered. You're wrapped up in Jesus. You're completely covered by the mantle. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God, as it works, and it moves, it moves, it moves along. As the Spirit of God moves, it impacts and it creates an atmosphere and a presence that changes people's lives. And when you spend time in the presence of God, it establishes this atmosphere, this presence that causes people to yield, to surrender, and any oppression and forms of bondage, they're lifted off of you so that you can operate in a sober spirit. So you can have a sober spirit, a mind that is clear and able to hear and perceive the things of God. This is what God is working out in our lives. And so Elijah, he takes his mantle and he takes it off. He folds it together and he takes it and he strikes the water. Hallelujah. He strikes the water, and the waters depart. Hallelujah. The waters depart. He strikes. Hallelujah. And this is the power of God. This demonstrates the Spirit of God is with him. Hallelujah. And he is able to do exactly
what happened with the Israelites when they went into Jericho on the other side. Hallelujah. When they came out of the wilderness, we see how Joshua, they were able to part the waters, and the high priest went through and the waters parted. Moses, when he went across from Egypt into the wilderness, and the waters parted. Now God is doing it. He's got a new thing. He says, strike the waters. Hallelujah. I kind of like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so they were able to divide the waters so that it went through. I don't know about you, but that would have been awesome to see. I would have been going, hallelujah, Lord, give me some of that. Hallelujah. I want some. And this is what Elisha was pursuing. He was pursuing the mantle of the Spirit of God. He wanted the anointing of God. Hallelujah. I would submit to you, whoever you spend the most time around, you are getting their anointing. Hallelujah. I just hope that they are of the Spirit of God, of a right spirit, that you are spending time with people who have a mantle of the Spirit of God that can be imparted to you so that you can receive all that you need. And so Elijah was able to cross over on dry ground. I don't know what happened here. All right, so bring me back. So in verse Romans 15, 13, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You and I, we can't have an abundance of hope and joy and peace without the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're going to have the opposite, which is fear, anxiety. You'll have concerns that are overwhelming to the point where you are not able to accomplish the will of God or the things of God, because you're going to be locked down. You're going to be held back. But when the power of the Holy Spirit shows up in your life, you can strike the waters and they will part. Hallelujah. You'll be able to go through on dry land. God will show up in your life and he will transform whatever the situation is, and you will be able to just walk right on over it. Because God has done an amazing work of the Spirit in the midst of your life. And so we see in this map here where they traveled. They went to Bethel and then to Gilgal. Now, Jericho's not on here, but it's just a little bit below Gilgal in that darker green mountainous area. Does this thing have one of those things? I don't know if I can. No. But, like, can you? All right, that's not going to happen. So, it's, like, right in here. Jericho is right in here. So what they did was they traveled along here, and then they went to the Jordan, which is the river coming right down in the light green area. You see the river that leads into the Dead Sea. And so that's the Jordan as it comes down. And so this is where they go, and they're on this path, and at each place you can see that's a lot of distance to travel. That's a long way to walk. These guys weren't riding in cars, you know, or horses or anything. They were walking, and this is a long way. It's not, I mean, you're talking about halfway across the country of Israel there, that whole territory, and it is a long distance. And so this is one of the reasons why the opportunity to stay behind was presented. And you and I, we have to be willing to go the distance. We have to be willing to surrender our own will and our own ways and say, I am going to be faithful to the end. I am going to stick it out to the end. This is not talking about being faithful to God. This is about being faithful to the work of God, to accomplishing the will of God, and to working with people, working together, working with one another. So many people, when they run into opposition, they want to quit. They throw in the mantle. They throw, I'm going somewhere else. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because they're not willing to go the distance. And when you're not willing to go the distance, you don't receive the blessing. Hallelujah. Because God is looking to use people who are fully committed and are willing to go the distance. Jesus went the distance. Moses went the distance. Elijah went the distance. And now Elisha is going the distance. You and I, we must go the distance. These are the byproducts of having faith in God. If you really have faith in God, if you really trust in God, you won't live based on what you see and what you think is happening. You will live by the word of the Lord. You will live according to what the call of God is in your life. You will see the manifestations of God. And even when things don't seem to be right, your faith in God is such that you know that God will cause things to shift. He will cause things to turn around. It's not going to stay the same because God is doing a work. That is why we're all here, because God is in the transformation business. He is in the life-changing business. This is what he does. When you see issues and you see problems, it's only temporary because God is about to do a miracle. And he is going to change things around. The question is, will you be around to see it when it happens? Will you go the distance in order to be a part of what God is about to do? Not everybody is. And this is what Satan will do. He will try to get as many people to jump ship as he can by helping them to focus on the wrong thing. He will bring a distracting spirit into people's lives, and they get hung up on trivial nonsense and things that are out of the way. Instead of saying, shh, be still. Shh, I know. Shh, be quiet. They entertain all of this stuff, and the next thing you know, you have a mind that has been polluted, and now you have the wrong spirit, and you're operating out of the perception, well, I'm of God, and I'm hearing from God, and God is speaking to me. But it's a deceiving spirit, and a spirit that is designed to keep you from your blessing. Hallelujah. And so it says in verse 9, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Hallelujah. Let a double portion. Hallelujah. Now, Elisha is now in the position. Notice he didn't just say, hey, give me a double portion before you go. I know the Lord has taken you. I need a double portion of that spirit. I'm claiming it. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I receive it. Give me that mantle, doggone it. I'm taking it. I'm claiming. I'm laying hold of this in the name of Jesus. And it's my, no, that is not what he did, is it? Notice who initiated the opportunity. Who initiated the opportunity? It was Elijah who said, ask what I shall do. And that's what happens when your gift makes room for you. When you're operating in your gifting, when you're faithful to God, you don't have to go claiming, oh, I'm a prophet of God and I have a right to the Spirit. You know, I have all faith. I can move mountains and I can trust God. I've been blessed and I tell you that no devil is able to overcome because I'm wonderful. You don't have to say anything. Your gift will make room for you. And if you really have it, you won't have to say a word. And if you're of a right spirit, you won't say a word. You will wait for the opportunity. You will wait for the doors to open because God is already moving you. He's already put you where you need to be. You're here now. And now he just wants you to mature, to begin to operate in your gifting. Get settled in and allow God to mold you and shape you. So many people all can say, well, you know, this wasn't right and that wasn't right and this is a problem and that is a problem. That's a wrong spirit. That means you're looking at what is evil or what is dark. When you're able to focus in and it becomes a thing, all the things that people do wrong or somebody did wrong or something that happened, then you know you're not seeing God. You're distracted by some other voice. There's some other spirit that's at work, and now you are being sidetracked so that you are being robbed of the blessing of God. And I'm telling you, you need to operate in a sober spirit. You need to be able to operate in the faith of God and His Word. God will make a way for you when you are faithful to God. You don't have to worry. God will say, ask what I shall do for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And you can talk to God about it. And God will give you what you need. He will open doors for you. He will make a way for you. All you need to do is be faithful. Be faithful. Go the distance first. Go the distance. Stay the course. Stay with it. You're around the right people. You're in the midst of the Spirit of God. God is moving. You see God doing amazing things. God is just proving Himself again and again and again. Of course, there are 50 people will show up to talk to you about other stuff. Well, you know, this is happening and that's going on. And oh, this is going on and that's happening. You got to be like, shh. Hallelujah. You got to know how to shut people quiet. You got to know how to hush them down. Hush them down, because it's a distracting spirit. It's the wrong spirit at work. And when you're operating and you're looking for God to do something, you can't have people coming in telling you stuff. You know, you're believing God for healing and people are like, oh, that's such a shame. Oh, you know, I'm so sorry to hear that. You're like, you're bringing me down. Now you're making me want to cry again. Oh, you're like, oh my goodness. No. Doggone it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to strike that thing. You say, no, God is able. He has the ability to accomplish more than ever I could ask or imagine. You know, this is not over yet. God is able, and we're going to trust Him. We're looking to Him. I'm going the distance. I know I might be in Bethel now, but I'm going to Jericho, and I'm crossing the Jordan, and I'm going to wait for the chariots to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And not everybody is able to walk and go the distance. And there are distractions along the way, and they're good spiritual distractions, I might say, and good intentions are along the way, and good-hearted people, and they want the very best. They're looking out for God in some kind of way. But I tell you, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted by those kinds of people, because when you are looking for God, God has something for you. It's for you. You can't be distracted by anybody. You got to stay the course, because God wants to use you so that you can accomplish great things for God. And so He said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But not if, it will not be, if shall not be, it shall not be so. Hallelujah. And so, in other words, you have to keep your eyes on me. You have to keep your eyes on me. It's keep your eyes on Jesus, right? We all have heard that phrase. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus. Whenever somebody's trying to get you to look at something else, you know that is a conflicting spirit. We all know there's issues. We all know there's problems. There's challenges and difficulties everywhere. And no matter what your situation is, I'm sure you'll find mistakes. You're going to find people who aren't doing what they're doing up to par. There's always going to be things and issues and problems. But you can't look at that. You got to stay, what is God doing? Because that's a distraction. There's a reason Satan is trying to bring in all this confusion. There's a reason Satan is allowing all this stuff that's going on. He's trying to get you to look. He says, don't look, because you're going to go where you look. And if you look the wrong way, you're going to get the wrong result. You're not going to receive from God. You're going to miss the blessing. Hallelujah. That's why you go to the bathroom before the service starts, right? Hallelujah. So that you don't have to be getting up and going out. Hallelujah. You see, some people can't even stay in the service. They got to get up. They got to go out. Then they got to come back in. Then they got to go out. Then they come back in. Then they go out. You know, we got to make sure that we can go the distance. Hallelujah. That we are able to stay the course so that the Spirit of God can minister to you and bring life to you. And so you can ask hard things. Hallelujah. He says, I will grant it to you, but you have to keep your eyes. You got to keep your eyes on me. He says, if you don't, it will not be so for you. If you do it, it'll be granted. But if you miss, it'll be too late. And so as they were going along, in verse 11 says, and they were talking. Hallelujah. That's a nice thing. And I think this is significant because when you walk with God, God talks to you. Hallelujah. It's a byproduct of a relationship with God. You can't be in a relationship and not have conversation. Even people who are mutes will try to communicate with you with their hands, right? People who are deaf, they're going to try and do stuff. If they can't see, they're going to talk. They're going to communicate. There's always communication when there's a relationship. The better the relationship, the better the communication. The better the communication, the better the relationship. Relationship and communication go together so that the power of God can be accomplished. And so Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. And so he was witness to the coming of the Spirit of God, the chariots that came and took him away, and he swooped him up. And it says, when he took hold of his own clothes, he tore them in two pieces. Hallelujah. He ripped off his own clothes. And this is what happens when you are trying to take on a new identity in Christ. You got to rip off the old. You can't operate in the same old way. You can't live the same old way. You can't do the same old things. You got to rip off these clothes. The clothes signifies identity. This is a picture of who you are. You ever heard the idea when you go for a job interview, you have to dress the part? You ever heard people say that, right? You know, if you go for a job, you want to dress, you want to put on a nice suit or a nice outfit that's conducive to what you want. If you want to be the supervisor or the manager or the boss, you got to look like you can do it. You can't go in there looking like you just crawled out of a hole and say, I want to be the guy in charge. Right? It's not going to happen. And then you don't have any experience. You don't have anything to back you up. No education. You got nothing going for you. But you're demanding to be in charge because you know more than the other guy. Well, you don't even look like you're ready for the job. And God understands this very thing. And this is what God is trying to do in our lives. He is trying to help us to understand that we are now clothed in the righteousness of God. We are new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. We are refreshed in God. We are renewed in God. And so God says, I'm going to change your clothes. We're going to renew you. And he says, he also took up the mantle. Hallelujah. As he went up, it fell to the ground. Hallelujah. And the mantle fell to the ground. And he went up. Hallelujah. And as he went up, and it says that it came down and he sees the mantle, he picks it up. Hallelujah. He says, yes, thank you, Lord. Why? Because he left it behind. And God always leaves you a blessing. Hallelujah. He will leave you a blessing when you're faithful to God. And even when things shift, he always leaves a blessing. And so it says that he stood by the banks of the Jordan. And as he stood by the banks of the Jordan, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he what? Struck the waters. Hallelujah. And he said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Hallelujah. He came on back. He had strutted on back, and he was able to cross over the water. And that's why in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, he says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. So we see how important it is to keep our works in line with what we're looking for God to do. We have to be able to go to distance. We have to be manifesting the things of God in our life through faith and hope. Do you believe God? Then know that he can cause all things to be changed, to be transformed. He can renew, he can heal, he can revive. The question is, are you willing to go the distance in order for it to happen for you, in order for you to receive it? Some people, they get almost there. They get to Gilgal, and then they stay. They don't ever get all the way across the Jordan. Some people, they will make it to Bethel, and then they'll stay there, and then they won't reach what they need to reach. Some people will even go all the way to Jericho, and they might get there, and they'll see God do something there, but they won't get what they need to get. It's not until you're willing to cross that Jordan and keep your eyes on the Lord and see the manifestations of God that you will experience all of these things that God has for you. You will know, as verse 4 says, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. God has chosen you. He has called. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because not everybody is willing to go the distance. Not everyone is able to experience all that God has for them, and they're not finding what they need because they are falling short in their follow through with God. And so he says, for our gospel, verse 5, did not come to you in word only, he says, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. Hallelujah. So we can all rub off on you so that we can demonstrate the power of God. You and I, we need people in our lives who can prove themselves as people who have faith in God. We need people who can prove that God is doing something in their life, that they're believing, that they're trusting, that they're looking to God. We're looking for people who can strike the waters and have them part. People who can take up the mantle of God. People who can walk in the ways of the Lord and see the manifestations of God, that God would be able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. So as 1 Peter says, it says, therefore prepare your minds. Hallelujah. Prepare your minds for action, not just for information, not just so you can win a discussion or an argument or a debate, but you would be able to keep sober and stay fixed on the right thing, not be caught up in the distractions of life, the things that are designed to pull you from the atmosphere of faith in God, where you're unable to experience iron sharpening iron and the rubbing of the things of the Spirit of God together with those who are operating in full force, going the distance for God. It says that your hope needs to be complete, or it ought to be complete, completely on the grace of God. I pray that you are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has given you revelation, that you are able to see and hear and know what the Spirit of God is doing, so that your life can be changed, so that you can see and know that God is faithful and he is able to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. All you need to do is go the distance. Take up the mantle and allow the Spirit of God to work in you. He will give you hope. He'll set you free when you follow the truth of God's word, and he will enable you to prevail beyond the times. Amen?
Baby, amen.
Hallelujah.
Midday, oh, yeah. He's never early. He's never late. He will stand by what he claims. I lived enough life to say,
hallelujah. God is our help in times of trouble, the word of God says. And as we walk with God, God will make a way. And there is nothing that you are facing, nothing that you are dealing with. There is nothing that is impacting your life or your situation that God cannot see you through. All you need to do is go the distance. All you need to do is surround yourself with the right people in the right atmosphere so that you can have those who are able to bear witness to what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. Avoid the distractions and allow God to manifest himself in your life, and you too will experience the byproducts of genuine faith in God. You will have opportunities that you otherwise would not have had. And God will grant to you the very things that you need so that you can represent the kingdom of God. Take up the mantle and allow God to part the waters in your life and bring down the obstacles and every hindering thing that the Spirit of God may prevail in your life. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us, that you would enable us to overcome every obstacle and every challenge that comes against us, that we would be able to quiet the distractions in our life and the voices of confusion and those things that would take us away from meditating on the word of the Lord to thinking about the things that are hindering us. And God, we pray that you would be glorified, lifted up, and exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Be filled with the Spirit of the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Maybe midnight or midday, he's never early.
Maybe midnight or midday, he's never heard.